Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello listeners and welcome to this week's episode. Something a little bit different, and I know I say that often, but this time it really is. And since this episode has been recorded, there's been a lot of developments with the two people who are featured heavily in this episode. So I do hope after maternity leave to bring you an update. We're keeping our fingers on the pulse and I'm getting regular updates from Scorpio, who I am interviewing in this episode, who is happy to come back and give us an update towards the end of the year, September onwards. So here is Scorpio. Hello, Scorpio. Welcome to the show. Today, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a back seat while you bring your knowledge to the table and to the listeners. So would you like to start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about who you are?
Good evening, Casey. As you stated, I go by the nom de guerre E Scorpio online. I am the chief editor of the Gamma Secret Kings, and that takes the form of sometimes podcasts, documentaries, interviews, and a subreddit where we discuss many different political grifters, their cults of personality, and their followers. The interviews and documentaries go up on my eponymous YouTube channel, and the bulk of the research and inquest goes on at the r/GammaSecretKing subreddit, where we handle things in a much more humorous manner.
Yeah, I've been sneaking a peek at some of the subreddits related to the specific people that we're going to be speaking about this evening, and your documentary specifically, the two parts I watched on YouTube, definitely do have a humorous take on them, which I think helps when you're trying to digest difficult themes and content. I think the having the funny side of it definitely helps to take in the information but not get too dragged down by all of it. So that helped me to do a little bit of research on this subject. But would you like to tell us all specifically what we're going to be discussing today?
So we're going to be talking about a man named Owen Benjamin, and also a bit about a man named Vox Day. And they have, now I guess I should pause here and explain to your audience that we're not dealing with a cult in the traditional sense. We're talking about some kind of 21st century hybrid or offshoot. Most of the hallmarks are still present, such as despotic rule by a narcissistic leader, absolute fealty and obedience to said leader, financial domination, encouragement to leave family and friends if it runs afoul of the group's beliefs, love bombing and acceptance into the group, followed by banishment and slander of suppressive persons. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of what we're getting into. There is very little physical interaction or meeting up with these people, although it does occur. But we're talking about an e-cult, if you will.
Yeah, I was definitely getting the vibe that this is another example of an online movement that seems to be picking up traction, and there's a lot of traffic moving through the different platforms that these two people proselytize on. I don't know if proselytize is not the correct word in terms of the religious sense, but how they speak to their fans. It reminds me of an episode I did recently around Teal Swan, when I spoke to Andy Fellows about his experience with that online movement and how kind of some groups did meet and have offline get-togethers, but most of it was primarily based on the online content that Teal Swan was releasing. And much of what you listed there in terms of cult-like methods was still in place. So it's definitely in keeping with the themes we're talking about, high control situations. But as you mentioned, not necessarily a cult in the sense that somebody might say, you know, oh, that commune that are living isolated on that farm over there, they're definitely a cult. And so it's a little bit different in that sense from what I've seen, but I'm not the expert, you are. So would you like to tell us how you became interested in this particular subject?
Well, Casey, I reside at a bizarre crossroads of the internet, where internet blood sports, personality cults, live streaming, and e-celebrity all intersect. As such, I have a macabre fascination with the general lunacy and debauchery exhibited by these internet talking heads. I, like many others, was first made aware of Owen Benjamin and his bear cult in the first quarter of 2019. It was early on into that year. At that time, he was still on YouTube. He has since been kicked off that platform several times, as well as many others. But he was being heavily pushed by their algorithm. While I initially turned in to see what off-the-wall antics this man would get into next, it became apparent very quickly that something was really off. I found out that there was a subreddit, and we'll talk more about that later, devoted to absolutely lampooning this man. But it was also peppered with serious discussion that the man was forming some kind of e-cult.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how did you go about gathering your own information to come to this place now that you're at, where you have all this information about Owen Benjamin?
Well, when I first started looking into this phenomenon, I noticed that there were not very many resources devoted to this topic. Kind of alluded to that earlier. I did reach out and try to schedule interviews with Cult Watch. I believe that's the website, cultwatch.org. Mm-hmm. And local sociology professors, but I never got any responses. I don't know if this is just something people are not taking seriously at this time. So I kind of had to just, go back to the old fashioned methods. I have a background in journalism, so I took a very gonzo approach to these stories. I immersed myself in the culture and absorbed as much as I could of the deep lore. And there's quite a bit. It takes countless hours of watching past and current live streams. I track down and interview old foes and ex-cult members alike. And really, that's what got me to start digging more into these men.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story, and we'll introduce Vox Day more properly later.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a story that this man, Vox Day, used to tell. He would tell it often. And it was an attempt to ward off his detractors. He would tell this story that he had, and these are his words, a crippled kid in a wheelchair arrested twice by the Massachusetts State Police. He told that story often enough that I began to notice inconsistencies. So I found the subject in question online, and it wasn't hard because Vox Day and his minions had doxed the individual up to and including his name, his wow. address, his phone number, his IP address, and even the wildlife center where he volunteered at. And I found out some very interesting things. I found out that he was not in a wheelchair, he was not a kid, and he had never been arrested. I requested the police reports and found out that while they did talk to the man at the behest of Day, they never had a reason to arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I saw that, and it was a, it was a very big story as far as these little internet circles that I inhabit are concerned. So that was kind of the stepping stone into to digging deeper and finding out just what more were they lying about? What more could mm-hmm. be found to kind of expose the lies of these men?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I did read, I watched in the documentary a part where he mentioned that the person in the wheelchair was an orphan as well. And he was very, very much putting emphasis on an orphaned child in a wheelchair he had had arrested, and then was accused of swatting.
That was another story. That was a it just once you unravel the layers of this onion, it just gets crazier and crazier. The swatting incident was directed against Owen Benjamin.
Okay.
And it was, in fact, not a swatting. It was a more akin to a wellness check, I suppose. Now, men like these, they have very many followers, but they also have a lot of enemies. They gain a lot of enemies just with their bombastic personalities.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to their own people who they either snub or swindle, but whoever, and I'm not privy to this information, but somebody wound up making a report against Owen Benjamin. This is just one incident of this happening from his time in Washington, and Washington State, excuse me. And it was alleged that he was doing things that we don't have to get too much into it, but there was allegations of child abuse. There was all kinds of different allegations. However, it was under the purview of Child Protective Services. And they sent out one lone sheriff's deputy to do a wellness check. Just follow up on this report.
Yep.
And Owen Benjamin and Vox Day both got on their live streams and immediately claimed that they were swatted. Now, in case your listeners don't know, a swatting is when, and this is usually in the gaming community, someone will cause an actual SWAT team to come to a live streamer's home, whether it's on stream or off, and they will be put in a very precarious situation, to say the least, as they have a SWAT team knocking down their door. But this did not happen. It was exaggerated as such. It was not the case at all.
No.
And a lot of times people will, especially these types of people, will make claims like that because it generates sympathy. It engenders loyalty from an already established base. But more importantly, it drives up donations. And that's how these types of men operate. They operate strictly on a donation-based business model.
Yeah, interesting. I did read about a swatting incident that happened a few years ago. I think it was largely a thing when competitive Call of Duty was very popular, and people would have the means to hack somebody through their gamertag or their PSN or whichever console you use, and track down that person's IP address and therefore where they lived. So they would have that information available then to be able to make a phone call to law enforcement and say that they suspected this person of having a methadone operation in their basement, or having potential firearms that were dangerous, or homemade bombs and things like that, that would be then triggering a SWAT team to turn up at the person's house out of nowhere. And usually it would be a 14-year-old kid who lived at home with their parents, and the parents would get the door knocked down by the SWAT team, and everyone's like, what's going on? So just in case anybody was wondering how you would potentially get swatted, that is what that means. And it always came from people bad-mouthing each other in online in the video game, strangers from different parts of the world who had never met each other and probably would never meet each other. One person beats the other one in the video game and the person's like, oh, I'm going to get the SWAT team to go to your house. And they're like, yeah, do it then. You don't even know where I live. And then before you know it, the SWAT team's at your door. So for anybody that's wondering what that online phenomenon is, it's that. But just going back to Owen Benjamin and Vox Day. So these are two men that are linked to each other.
Yes.
Is there a name for the group of people that follow Owen Benjamin? Have they gained a nickname in any way?
Oh yes, absolutely. The name of the primary group we're discussing tonight, I suppose its official name is the Unbearables, but okay, they usually are known as the Bears for short. And you might have run across them online. I know they are prolific on Twitter. They are on Instagram. And due to Owen Benjamin's constant banishment from internet platforms, they've even trickled down to some of the smaller alternative platforms like Telegram and DLive and whatnot. So if you see someone with a, you know, the bear emoji, the bear, like mm-hmm. a teddy bear head emoji, if mm-hmm. you see that next to someone's username, chances are that it's one of the bears. It's an Unbearable.
Right. Okay. You sent me something before as well. There was a picture of the Benjamite Creed.
Yes.
So I don't know if these people would, I thought maybe they called themselves Benjamites.
That was something that somebody had put together afterwards. Actually, ex-members of this group put it together. However, the information that is on it is all accurate, and those were actual beliefs that were passed around with the Twitter bears, with the Instagram bears. So those are actual core tenets of right.
Do these come from Owen Benjamin himself, or are these kind of beliefs that are built up by the devout followers of Owen Benjamin?
It's odd. I guess it could be said that it might be a mixture of both. However, a man like Owen Benjamin is very authoritarian,
mm-hmm.
so very little takes place outside of his authorization.
Right.
So these all of the parts of that creed that we're talking about, they are all things that Owen Benjamin has said in some form or another on his live okay. streams.
Mm-hmm,
and that is how the majority of his, like you said, the proselytizing takes place is through, mm-hmm. he's an internet streamer. He live streams, he talks about all kinds of odd topics, but in essence, it's supposed to be slightly political, slightly religious, slightly culture-based content. But in any case, the group members, they're all, Owen Benjamin himself. We have the bears, and Owen Benjamin himself goes by the nickname Big Bear. So we might mention that a few times tonight. Mm-hmm. Big Bear is the term of endearment from the group.
Right.
The group members are all encouraged to take on bear names as a way of being more easily trusted by the Big Bear. So we have people like Queen Bee Bear, Lady QAnon Bear, Sing-Along Bear, etc.
Wow, okay.
However, the bear name and the amount of donations will not save them if they incur Big Bear's wrath.
Right, okay. I see. And I'll quickly just read out the Benjamite Creed for any of the listeners who are interested. Because usually if I was speaking to an ex-member of a highly controlling group, I would ask them what the beliefs and practices are of the group that they've left. So if I quickly go through this creed, I guess it's similar to that what would be that conversation. So the creed says, I will promote peace between all bears. I will never be angry at another bear. I will never take sides between bears. I will always be positive in member chat. I will never criticize Big Bear in public. I will shed light on trolls where I find them. I will never be angry at a troll. I will never dox. I will never flag. I will never defend. I will defend bears where they are attacked. So that's the Benjamite creed for anybody who is wondering what that document looks like. I'll also include a picture of it on my social media when the episode goes out as well. So for anybody that wants to see, it looks like it's on an old piece of scripture, like you know, when you would tea stain your like history homework to make it look old and antique. That's what that picture looks like. When I was watching your documentary, one of the sentences that the narrator, which is yourself, reads out at one point is, to understand Owen Benjamin, first we have to look at Vox Dei and who he is. So who is he, especially in relation to this group?
Well, Vox Dei is an interesting part of this equation. And I use the word interesting very loosely because the man is a total bore. He is, in effect, the spiritual progenitor of this movement. But he's also the business partner of Owen Benjamin. And we'll be talking about some of their business practices and scams later on. But Dei has a cult of personality in his own right. And actually, he has at least two, possibly more. But some of the more prominent ones are known as the Vile Faceless Minions, or the VFM. And then he has an elite branch called the Dread Ilk. So Vox Dei is a pseudonym in and of itself. The man's real name is Theodore Beale, but he is also known as the Supreme Dark Lord and leader of these groups. Dei has been an active personality on the internet for some 20 years. And he is, I don't know if you can call him Jobs, but he is more known to the mainstream as being a blogger, a columnist, a science fiction writer, and he's also another live streamer who talks about politics, current events, but he mostly spreads his own bizarre notions. And some of these notions being, he once called Anders Breivik, the infamous terrorist, a saint. He refers to him as Saint Breivik. And he also has very backwards notions about women.
Okay. Wherein
he believes women should not vote. They should be, in effect, second-class citizens. But what mostly winds up taking place on his live streams are constant introductions to myriad new projects for his flock to throw money at. And these projects rarely come to fruition. The reason why I included Vox Dei in that, as you're referring to that sentence, it is my personal theory that when Vox Dei met Owen Benjamin, it brought out the worst in two already megalomaniacs.
Right.
And their shared qualities of greed and lack of compassion set them on this path of cultivating and fleecing a willing flock.
And it's mentioned in the documentary that Vox Dei is an author.
Yes.
And his work is, according to him, critically acclaimed and very successful.
Yes, that is his claim. And honestly, they are not, Vox Dei is not accepted in the mainstream whatsoever. But he is popular and critically acclaimed among these niche groups that he's carved out. Mm-hmm. So you have that echo chamber. You have that, feedback loop.
Yep.
Where he's constantly getting his greatness thrown at him, but it's not necessarily a popular opinion.
No, it's almost like the views are so... I don't know how to word it, but the views, as obviously, that the misogyny and the controversial comments about, you know, labeling somebody a saint when they have done heinous, nefarious things, it almost seems like it's going dramatically controversial for reaction's sake.
Right. And again, this is one of the tactics. Now, I mentioned my subreddit, the Gamma Secret Kings. We focus on not only these men, although these men have kind of taken a backseat, but all of these types of personalities. And there are many, such as Mike Cernovich, such as Roosh V, Gavin McGinnis, men like that, who men in their own rights who have established their own personality cults. And you'll see that this is a common tactic that these types of characters use, where they will intentionally push the right buttons so that they get that desired reaction. Mm-hmm. And it's actually beneficial, where it seems contradictory, but it's beneficial to these men to be kicked off of platforms, to be where they can claim they're being censored, they're being silenced. And as I stated earlier, it drives up their donations, it drives up the loyalty, it kind of makes these men martyrs in mm-hmm. the eyes of their followers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it's in that part of the documentary where, well, there's a lot of stories that Vox Day says, you know, going back to the child in the wheelchair that he talked about, but also his lineage and where he comes from, are talking about, you know, his bloodline being related to prominent members of history, which the documentary explains is not entirely true. So there is that as well. So just tell the listeners what the name of the documentary is and where they can find it, because we keep talking about it and I want to make sure that they definitely know.
Yeah, my YouTube channel is excuse me. As I said, it's just my name. It's E Scorpio, E.Scorpio. And the Vox Day documentary, it's called Diary of a Madman, the Vox Day Story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that one, like I said, that is part one. So you start with Vox Day to kind of figure out how we get to Owen Benjamin and his craziness.
Mm-hmm.
But the Owen Benjamin one is there also, and that one is very easy to find. I have a link. Actually, I have a section for my popular videos. And if you go on that, the Owen Benjamin and Vox Day are number one and number two, respectively.
Yeah.
So they're very easy to find. And I would encourage anybody to watch Joe's for a good time. My number one priority was to be entertaining.
Yes.
But also I wanted to get that information out there, as I think it's an important story for people to know.
Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely comes across in the content itself. You know, like I mentioned, it's done in a humorous way, but it does get the points across. And the Vox Day documentary goes into detail about the lineage that Vox Day claims to have and how that simply isn't possible for him to be related to such people, or for his relatives to have been in such high-profile events throughout history. So I don't think we'll go too much into it here, but if anybody wants to go and watch the documentaries part one and part two, then now we know where we can find them. And I'll also post them in the episode description as well for anybody that wants to go and have a look. And the last thing I wanted to talk about Vox Day before we move on is he's got this weird system about alphas and betas. Oh. Because when you look at pyramids or tiers or any kind of labeling system, especially because he doesn't identify, he identifies uniquely with his own sort of letter of the Greek alphabet. that to me did have cult-like connotations when I came across that. So just explain that briefly for the listeners.
Yeah, and I'll be as brief as I can, because this is an important part. Excuse me, this is an important part. And I kind of lay it out in the documentary, the Vox Day documentary, that is the basis of his cult. So Vox Day is a man that has attempted to glom on to several popular internet, subcultures or movements or trends. And he's always a day late and a dollar short. But I don't know, I'm sure you remember at the time, this was maybe some, 5-6 years back, maybe longer, when the pickup artist craze was happening. And they were talking a lot about alphas and betas, as they tend to do. Well, this was not good enough for Vox Day. So he made his own socio-sexual hierarchy, is what he calls it. And he has alphas, betas, but he renamed betas to bravos because Owen Benjamin didn't like being called a beta. And then you have deltas, who are the worker bees. And beneath that, you have gammas, who are supposed to be, according to Vox Day, originally they were somewhat effeminate men, men that were jealous of alphas. However, it has devolved into a catch-all for his enemies. So anybody who he doesn't like is a gamma. Anybody who disagrees with them is a gamma. He uses it as a cudgel to attack people and to keep his own followers in line, because nobody who follows Vox Day wants to be called a gamma.
No, no.
And if you cross the line, you just might be a gamma.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking then, you know, you and I are gammas in this moment, I suppose, because...
Well, as you mentioned, the misogyny, women are excluded from the socio-sexual hierarchy, so...
So
you get away with that one.
I don't even get to be a gamma.
Yeah, yes.
But Vox Day, he doesn't associate himself with any of those. He has his own.
No. So in an attempt to explain away his own foibles, his own weird oddities, because you've seen the man talk. He's very hard to listen to, just because he drones on. He doesn't have very much charisma. He doesn't have very much personality. So he's not a socially affable man at all. So he is not he does not traditionally fit the alpha archetype. So he created his own category, and he is one for sure, but anybody else who calls themselves a Sigma is probably just a gamma line. But the Sigma is the lone wolf counterpart to the alpha. So the Sigma is at the top of the hierarchy. However, they're too cool to be in the actual pyramid itself. They're on the outside doing their own thing, but they still get all the women and they still get all the attacks from the jealous gammas. So, yeah. And I don't know if you noticed this, but there was actually a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, it became something that was trending on Twitter, where everybody was talking about the Sigma and they were rightfully mocking it. It even came out in a Daily Mail article.
Okay. Interesting. So it definitely was bringing about attention to the group. Even if it was negative attention, it's going to still kind of bolster the traffic going to these men, in terms of people who are curious to see just like who are these people and what are they talking about?
Sure. And while Vox did make the mainstream, he didn't perhaps make it in the way he was hoping.
No. And I suppose we're doing the same thing here by talking and bringing attention to, people who might potentially go and have a look at what these men have to say. But that's Absolutely. That's enough about Vox Day now. Let's move on to Owen Benjamin. Who is Owen Benjamin?
So Owen Benjamin is a failed actor. He is a former stand-up comedian from Hollywood, California. He was actually, to his credit, he was out there for a while, and he did not make it big, but he made it somewhere. But we can actually trace Benjamin's history through the number of states that he has been exiled from. States in the United States. So Benjamin leaves Hollywood around 2015, and we were able to find, by his own testimony, that the reason for his departure was that he was struggling due to competition from Viners. I don't know if you remember that, but that was a thing at one time. And YouTubers. So, but he would later retcon this, his origin story, by claiming that he was exiled due to him speaking out against trans kids on Twitter. And this version is the accepted true lore in his own cult mythos.
Right.
So that's something that does happen, but it was after his departure from Hollywood. It was not due to it. He actually got into a Twitter spat with Jesse Thorne. That was actually I'm not sure if it went mainstream, but that's a well-known incident on the internet. In any case, the reason he got kicked off of Twitter was because he made sexually suggestive comments about David Hogg. So that's another thing that he tries to spin, is that he was censored for speaking out against these trans kids, but that's just misdirection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he goes from Hollywood to his home area of upstate New York. And this is where the embers ignite and become the inferno that is his current day personality cult. He starts a podcast there called Why Didn't They Laugh?
Mm-hmm.
And slowly he starts to build up a very devoted following via YouTube and other podcasting sites, but primarily on YouTube. And he had an incident there in his town, this town of Saranac Lake, New York, where he played a song that he calls, now this is a very popular song, and this is a mainstay of his act from this point to now. The song is called That N-Word Stole My Bike, except he doesn't say N-word. He says the actual word, and he says it over and over in this song. He is, it should be noted, a hacky piano comic. That's his primary. That's the type of comedy he does.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, due to the fallout from his racist rant and his unwillingness to apologize, he became quite unpopular in his town. And the social pressure caused him to uproot his family and move across country to the suburbs of Seattle, Washington.
Right.
This is where he would start his fake farm homesteader persona. It is also around this time where he started courting an American right-wing following. He endorsed Donald Trump, and he began showing his interest in conspiracy theories, starting with the moon landing conspiracy. And we can talk more about that as we move on, but that's a big part of who he is. That's a big part of the Big Bear myth, is his, how he speaks truth to power by being a farmer, by being a salt of the earth man and a speaker of truth to power.
Yeah. I feel those types of opinions and that frame of mind at the moment is like flavor of the month almost.
Sure.
With conspiracy theories and QAnon and using the internet to build up a following of like-minded people.
Right.
I feel like that is the times that we live in currently. And that's kind of broadened and almost become an identifiable subculture over the last 2 years, especially the last year, given the pandemic and the election and the Black Lives Matter protests that happened. So it's not difficult to see why, if Owen Benjamin is adopting all of these beliefs and thoughts, that he has gained the size of audience and devout followers that he has managed to gain.
Yeah, and at his peak, he had well over 260,000 subscribers on YouTube. So he was, he was not a small fish by any stretch of the imagination. He was very influential and continues to be influential, although his following has dwindled. It gets smaller and smaller, but we find ourselves with more and more devout followers. And you have to ask yourself if that's a part, if that's intentional. Is he intentionally whittling down this following to the most diehard of cult members?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's moved to this homestead and he started this persona, and that's where the live streams and video content starts to kind of become his main focus. He moves away from the podcast, I'm assuming, and more towards these other kind of on-screen rants. I don't know how else to describe them, really.
Yes. The Why Didn't They Laugh podcast, it started as a way for him to test out his jokes on the audience, because at that time he was still a touring comedian somewhat. And he would ask his audience, why didn't these jokes work when I told him live? And he would ask for audience participation in helping him to improve the joke. And so that's something that we will see continue. Whereas Why Didn't They Laugh kind of died off and morphed into the Owen Benjamin live stream, that audience interaction is still there to this day, to the point where he's used his audience to write whole comedy shows for him. Now, as I mentioned earlier, when you get a degraded audience the way that he has, the output is not very good. And we might talk about how he's suffered because of it. But that is, I believe, one of the reasons why he is so beloved with his audience, because he actually gets input from them. They might have the chance of seeing their words spoken from the Big Bear's mouth. It's all very bizarre. But so we have the Owen Benjamin podcast. It really comes into its own there in Washington State. And some of his most infamous incidents involving fans, detractors, and the local population and law enforcement happened in Washington, and up to the point that he found himself moving once again within the last 6 months to Northern Idaho. And that brings us to his present location. But he has started the cycle all over again by exposing the locals to the hazards of his e-cult. For example, we currently have a jaded cult member in Idaho who has made contact with him twice at the post office with the goal of moving in with him, or at least on his promised cult compound. And that actually allows us to segue nicely into the numerous scams, unless you want to continue more on this.
No, please carry on with where that was going.
So, and I sent you the video. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. That woman, Kat, she is the one that we're talking about here. Now, let me, before we get into the scam that she was involved in, let me kind of set up how the numerous scams that these people have had, these both Vox Day and Owen Benjamin together have been able to get a lot of money out of their following without very much in return.
Mm-hmm.
So this man raises money online, and it takes various forms due to him constantly being deplatformed, as I mentioned, for his flagrant violations of various terms of service. They have taken, just some examples, they have taken money for $100 DVDs that were never produced. There was a comedy. He actually put together a comedy tour in mid to late 2019 that, as I said, it was mostly written by his fans, but it was also heavy doses of his very old material. That took the form of a 4-city tour. And due to his bad language and bad reputation, he was not able to book respectable venues, so he kind of had to put these impromptu shows on, but they were primarily for his fans, so they were not going to care one way or the other, just as long as they got to be around the man. But he was supposed to produce documentary DVDs about this tour that he did, this small comedy tour. Well, those were never produced. The money was collected, they were never produced. He kind of mentioned something maybe a year after the fact.
Mm.
But you know, you're not getting your money back. We're going to do something else. Just get over it.
Okay.
What else do they have? They have merchandise sales that are sporadic in their delivery. But one of the first major scams that came to light was the aforementioned business venture with Vox Day. They were setting up a website that was touted as being a safe haven from online censorship. And never mind the fact that Benjamin and Day are very vocal in their opposition to free speech. This gets us to the bannings. There, I'm sure you picked up on that. There's this, that's their first line of defense against criticism, against people that they've both deemed gamma, because they both use the same terminology.
A quick message from this week's sponsors, Podcorn. This announcement is mostly for all of my fellow podcasters and content creators who tune in. Podcorn are an amazing online service that I have used to independently find sponsorships for my show. Because I'm a small platform that does not see listener numbers like those at the top of the podcast charts, I'm not eligible yet for big brand sponsorship to help build the quality of the show. However, Podcorn means that I can do this for myself. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to amazing podcast sponsorship opportunities such as host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. With Podcorn, there is no middleman. Podcasters of all sizes can browse and choose opportunities right on the platform, set their own rates, and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. You never give up any rights to your podcast, and Podcorn is here to support you at every step and ensure that you're protected and compensated for the work that you do for brands. The marketplace mission is to give podcasters transparency, creative freedom, and full control of how and when we monetize. Click the link in my show notes to sign up to Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities today. That's www.podcorn.com.
So they'll ban, or just people, they'll even ban their own fans who happen to rub them the wrong way at that particular moment. So they'll, their live streams, they have the ability to ban people from engaging with the rest of the audience. So they are very much against free speech, but they are for it when it comes to these private platforms having the ability to kick them off. But in any case, this venture was called Unauthorized TV. And it was supposed to be a new platform where the cultists could watch Owen Benjamin and Vox Day live stream and not be hassled by outside intervention, i.e. the trolls, and there are many of us, and the big tech censorship that they like to go on again. Mob free speech, as we call it. But this was 2 years ago, and despite raising a ton of money, and they're still raking in a steady income from member subscriptions. It's a monthly online subscription. We have tiers ranging from $5 all the way up to, I believe the highest tier is $275 a year. And there really is no discernible difference between any of these tiers. It's just how much you feel like giving these people.
Right.
But they have, this was 2 years ago, and they have yet to deliver on anything they originally promised. There's no live streaming. There's no live chat. A lot of times it's down. We have people that have complained. And again, the subreddit comes up. Their own followers will come to the Owen Benjamin subreddit and ask if we know how they can unsubscribe from Unauthorized, because they're, at least at that time, now I supposedly it's something that these men have addressed, but at the time there was no unsubscribe button or unsubscribe option from Unauthorized. You had to jump through all kinds of loops. You had to contact Vox Day when he was in a good mood. You had to buy via Gmail. But you can see, even at this point, I believe it was March 2019 when they first announced unauthorized.tv. But you can see at that point that they were already keen on isolating their followers from outside criticism. They kind of want to corral them in this unauthorized, in this.
Yeah.
And they have their own version of Twitter, too. It's called Social Galactic.
Okay.
And again, it's the same thing. It's to keep these people away from the trolls. It's to keep them away from hearing any negative news.
Some form of information control, especially when one person says something that either of them don't agree with, and then they instantly ban that person for life, or one of the other members, one of the followers will ban them on their behalf. So they'll say, somebody ban that guy, we don't want him here. So that's definitely a form of information control, or so it seems. And it's hard because some of the listeners may be thinking, well, they just want to go about their business and talk about things they want to talk about without being shut down. But when you bring in things like financial exploitation that you've mentioned, if there's no policing system in place, or no way for people outside of these beliefs and values to, or no algorithms in place to almost keep an eye on what's going on within these groups, where does it stop? And then we see what happens with poor Kat in that video you sent me, which is kind of an extreme version of offline harm to somebody's well-being that can occur from these online groups and movements. So even though somebody may think that they're harmlessly supporting a live stream, actually, there are people who are being affected by this offline in very detrimental ways. Is Kat the same as Persephone in the documentary, or are they two different people?
No. Kat is an elderly woman. She's 69 years old.
Oh, gosh.
Persephone was a much younger woman. And she was in the group, one of the first groups to leave. Because as I said, this has been going on for a few years now. And we have these waves where we see these followers leave in droves, these mass exoduses. And they're so common that we have a name for them. We call them the Bearpocalypses. So Persephone was part of the first mass exodus. And that happened for a number of crazy reasons. But yeah, we can talk about her a little bit. I would love to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think at this point, any sort of coercive tactics that are being used that we can highlight to bring awareness to not just this group, but other groups that work in a similar fashion, is going to be handy at this point, especially because then the listeners can't get in touch with me and say, you're just attacking somebody for having different views to you. Because I know that any of my listeners, that anybody that's tuned in that listens regularly will know that I'm quite left wing, kind of just like I support equal rights and things like that, you know, like any what I assume any decent human being is just kind of like but that's just me and my feedback loop and my echo chamber. So it's not about that at all. From the documentaries I watched, from the information that you've been able to gather, there are sinister workings afoot here that could actually potentially end in offline harm, or one day an offline commune type group that is functioning away from society and where, you know, and closed off from society in a closed circuit situation, which is almost like what they are trying to achieve by creating platforms that are segregated from outsiders, which is always a bit scary and a bit dodgy as well. So yeah, let's talk about Persephone.
Yeah, and just to address that a bit, Casey, the politics really is just the veneer that's put on these groups. There's so much going on. It's kind of like the politics or the cultural discussion is kind of the sugar to go along with the bitter pill of what is really going on underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Persephone's case, as I mentioned, she was one of the earliest ones to get out, but she was so consumed by the community. And this is another parallel we can draw with actual traditional cults. The community plays a large part of it. They are made to feel like they found where they belong. And certainly that was the case in Persephone's case. Now, I won't speculate on what her private life was at that time. However, it becomes clear from her own testimony that she found something that she thought was lacking in this group, the bears.
Right.
And she found herself in the position where she was afraid to be shunned by it. She was afraid to be turned away, and that her online social interactions were strictly with this group. So Persephone was a woman that had who's married. She was a married woman.
Mm-hmm.
She was and I believe at that time she was married to her husband for some time, but so she had a stable home. She had a stable life, and she finds herself being romantically drawn into a relationship with another bear. It's, you know, what people would refer to as an online affair. So, but it got so extreme and to the point where she had already had her bags packed to move in with this bear. She would have had to move into another country to be with this man.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these are the types of stories that you hear with traditional cults where they will throw away, or they will forsake their families.
Yeah,
they will uproot their lives on because it's viewed as the proper move to make within the boundaries of the cult.
Okay. And did she go?
She did not. Thankfully, she did not. She listened to her husband's suggestion of going to therapy. They went to couples therapy. She had individual counseling. And she realized that she was under a spell, for lack of a better word. She realized that she had unaddressed issues with impulsivity. But yes, thankfully, thank God mm-hmm. that she did not follow through on this, which it could have been a major misstep in her life. But again, we see more ill effects. I mean, the therapy is not cheap. These are very real. This might be some kind of little online world, but these effects are very tangible to a lot of these members, especially monetary wise.
And I mean, that in itself is, it sounds as if it's something that could happen to anybody. You get speaking to somebody online and you feel like you have feelings for that person, but you've never actually met them. I'm sure some people have had successful relationships that have started on an online basis, but it is, it's much better described by Persephone herself in your documentary, where you can see sort of layer by layer how her own thoughts are turned against her. And it's almost like there is a level of gaslighting that is used. And it's quite, actually quite uncomfortable to sit and listen to, especially when she talks about trying to rush through her divorce so that she can get out to meet this person and be with this person. And just, I feel that she's so lucky to have the husband that she's got, who was understanding and patient and supportive enough to just say, listen, if that's what you want, that's fine. But let's just try this one thing first. And if it doesn't work, then I will sign the divorce papers and you can go and I will support you in that decision. Because I feel like not a lot of people would have had somebody as understanding who could have just let that person uproot their entire life and move away to goodness knows what, and maybe not have anywhere to go or a safe place to reside if they get there and realize that everything they'd been told was kind of a far away from the truth.
Well, it is a very sobering story, and that's why I really wanted to include it in the Owen Benjamin documentary, and include it in as much entirety as I could, because I did very little editing, mostly for time reasons, but I thought she had an important story to tell, and I wanted her to tell it all, and for the audience to truly understand what dangers lie in these groups. And I make the point in the documentary that these types of occurrences are taking place under Owen Benjamin's supposedly watchful eye. Whether he wants it or accepts it or takes it seriously or not, he is the leader of this group of people. And ultimately, I place responsibility on him for what happens to his flock. I mean, that is why most normal people do not take it upon themselves to start cults.
And what about the other lady? How does that story differ from this one?
Are you talking about Kat? Or
yes. Yeah.
Okay, so Kat, this is our most recent and perhaps most egregious scam in the Bear and the Unbearables saga. We're talking about the promise of Bertaria, and as this is going to sound funny, but it is supposed to be a literal cult compound supposedly located near Benjamin's home in northern Idaho. Benjamin raised $200,000.
Wow.
From his followers to purchase the property it was supposed to serve as campgrounds and education facilities for bears, but also a potential place for the bears to live if society ever fell apart.
Right.
It was supposed to be a bear mecca. And there is a lot of shadiness connected to this property. But at this point, it is another unfulfilled promise. This is we might be going on close to a year that the fundraising campaign started. Casey, I often draw the comparison of Day and Benjamin's activities mm-hmm. to the financial aspect of, say, a NXIVM or a Scientology.
Okay.
There is always something for these followers to purchase. There is always some access to hidden knowledge promised, but right. in the end, very little is actually returned. So we kind of have that. Now, as far as cults go, like I said, it's missing some of the ingredients, but the financial aspect is the one that is most prominent in these movements. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she arrived at this piece of land in her car, is that right?
Yes, she drove from Washington to Idaho. And based on the location she gives, it's not a quick trip, some maybe 6 to 8 hours. But her car, she's in a 1994 Cadillac.
Right.
She's an old woman. She is, and I'm not saying this to disparage the woman, but she, from you've seen the video, she is quite clearly mentally unwell.
Yeah, it does sound that way. Without, you know, with I don't, I it, it's it's not really for us to right. I always say it, to sit here and armchair diagnose, but right. There is a lack of coherence in the way that she speaks that would suggest that potentially there is something going on with her mental health.
Now, we don't know the exact figure of Kat's donations. We don't know exactly how much money she sent Owen Benjamin, but what I can tell you is that his most ardent followers, and I would consider her to be one of them, at least perhaps up until this incident, send him vast sums of money.
Right.
A lot of these people, such as Kat, are on a fixed income, something like a pension, something like Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of it goes to keeping up with these men's projects and just showering them in praise. We have this in live streaming. We have this phenomenon of super chats, and you can give whatever amount of money you want just to have your message pop up on screen and possibly be read by the streamer. So that is a very common form of donation that these people take. However, the other thing I can tell you is that the levels at which people could send money and actually have a chance of being on the Bertaria property was starting at $400.
Right.
So it's possible that she gave him at least that much at one time.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I mean by egregious. The man presented it as an emergency fund, something that needed to happen quickly. He presented people with one piece of property in Idaho that was $2 million. And he wanted to raise $2 million in like a week. But he wound up settling for a smaller piece of property. There's so many things that have changed in this quote unquote right. agreement.
Yeah.
But the one things that we can definitively point to are the $400 minimum tier. And that at one time, at least, he said that these people would be allowed to camp and possibly live there for their donations.
Right.
So we have Kat. We have Kat. And we are assuming that she is referring to Bertaria when she, in her insistence on moving to Idaho. So like I said, Casey, it's just a lot of craziness going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of, mm-hmm. of shadiness. We don't even know. We have done, and by we, I mean the Gammas that researched this, we have not been able to find concrete evidence that Benjamin purchased the land. Although he has claimed many times that, even up until a couple of days ago, that he did.
So Kat's driven to Idaho, and then she releases this video. It's kind of dark outside. You can see the inside of her car, but you can't see her. And just talk us through the types of things that she's saying once she gets there.
Well, a large portion of Benjamin's income is received through the post office. His followers will send him cash. They will send him precious metals. They will send him weaponry, all manner of gifts to his post office box, because he has been banned from platforms like PayPal and Cash App.
Okay.
So everybody anybody who listens or knows about Owen Benjamin knows that he will daily be at the post office picking up his donations. So Kat, excuse me, Kat drove to Idaho. She confronted him at the post office on two occasions. And what upset her and kind of started to open her eyes to Benjamin's true character is she presented herself as being there to heal him and his family, and that she wanted to live with him and help him as a farmhand on his farm. Now, according to Kat, she is some kind of psychic healer. She has all kinds of holistic remedies to help cure people of, I suppose, mental type of ailments.
Mm-hmm.
But she presents herself in the post office to somebody who wishes to help Owen and his family. And Owen, he first is freaked out by her presence.
Yeah.
She reaches for her pocket. This is her own testimony. She reaches in for her pocket to present to him her ID. Now imagine this scenario. This is a 69-year-old woman. She is 100 pounds. She's very frail. At least in appearance, she's something else in her speech, but at least by her appearance, she's a frail old woman. And you have Benjamin, who is, it depends based on his own testimony, but he claims now to be 6'8", well over 300 pounds. This man, frightened by this small woman, he thinks she's reaching for some kind of weapon. So he brushes her off and rushes to his vehicle to get away from this woman, this fan of his, who just wants to help him. So she goes on, she explains her meetings with him, and she had gotten to the point where she was very upset and very angry. However, she vacillates often. She, in one minute, she'll be talking about how she's ready to expose Owen, but in the next minute, she'll say that she still loves him and she still wants to help him. So we have a very odd situation here. But one thing is clear is that she has made it her mission to get on that land, and she is going to stay there until it gets done. So we can only hope for the best.
Yeah. I mean, so you think she's still there in her Cadillac, just kind of waiting around?
There have been people. Now this has become quite the sensation. There are people who watch Owen strictly for the train wreck that his life is. And so this woman has kind of become a hero to some of those people. As some people are, you know, there's just looky-loos online, just like there is everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Some people are drawn to the spectacle. Some people want to antagonize, but there are some kind souls that have helped her out. And I think that they were able to purchase her a couple of nights in a motel. But the last video I did see of her, and she is keeping a somewhat regular log of this journey, a video log, is that she was still in Idaho.
Oh,
and she
goodness.
Still wanted some kind of closure to all this.
Yeah. And I think that's understandable. If you're going to make that journey to a place you've been promised you can stay for a financial contribution that you've made, only to be turned away by the person that made those promises in the first place. Especially at almost 70 years old, I can't imagine it's comfortable for anybody to sleep in a car in a place that they don't really know, let alone somebody of that age. So that's a really sad story. And I hope that it works out for the best. And I hope that she is not harmed in any way. I dread to think of law enforcement being called for harassment or things like that.
And if law enforcement is involved, it's my hope that they help this woman, that they, mm-hmm. The most positive end to this is that she be able to get back home.
Absolutely.
She needs to get home. She doesn't need to be, especially at her age, she doesn't need to be in a strange land trying to be at the side of an e-cult leader.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the subreddit of people that post, they post there on the Owen Benjamin subreddit, this is, it has over 3,000 members. And a lot of people on there are posting, you know, memes and or highlights from the newest uploaded video that's gone live, and or segments from archived videos where Owen Benjamin has talked about just his opinion of big gay men and just all the controversial things like that, that just some of the stuff that he just comes out with. And occasionally there will be a sympathizer that pops up in the subreddit that will try to tell everybody that their opinions are wrong. And I'm wondering if you've had any feedback from any of the bears regarding your take on Owen Benjamin and his followers.
I have on several different platforms. I am a bit, just, this is just a full disclosure for your audience. The Gamma Secret Kings are at their core a merry band of internet trolls. We antagonize things, but our targets are these larger leader type men. We don't, we're not the ones doing the egging on of, you know, people like Kat. Those are some other groups.
Yeah.
But we take our shots, and the documentaries were intended to be shots fired at these men, at these cult leaders. But in doing so, I have drawn the ire of their followers. So I've gotten into online tussles with bears on my YouTube comments, on Instagram. Instagram's one of their more popular hangouts. On Reddit, on the Owen Benjamin subreddit, I used to engage in the trolling the trolls, as it was.
Yeah.
But the pushback is very vocal, and I think that is another very telling thing about this group, is that it is all too personal for happenings on the internet. It is something that is very real. It's very real in the hearts and minds of these people, up to the point where they feel the need to defend this man against any and all forms of attack.
And I mean, I always refer to Stephen Hassan's bite model when I'm trying to ascertain the level of control that a group may have over its members. And you can go through the bite model here from just things that we've discussed. And there's things like promoting dependence and obedience on the leader. So I suppose that would be anybody that is a gamma is not welcome in the discussions and is just permanently banned. So and there's things like people who are encouraged to change their names to a nickname to show their allegiance to Big Bear, and the fact that he has a name that insinuates that he is the leader of something, yes. Mama Bear, Papa Bear, they're the primary caregivers of the bears, of the little bears, the baby cubs. Big Bear, that has different connotations, doesn't it? That kind of, that makes you, you know, feel like he is in charge of something. What that is, I'm not sure. But
yes, whatever it is, he's large and in charge.
There's things like forbid you from speaking with ex-members and critics. Obviously, that's something that's encouraged when the people that are banned from the group, as a devout follower, you wouldn't then go and speak to that person because you yourself would be risking your place in the ranks of Big Bear.
Yes, that absolutely happens.
So there's loads. Generate and use propaganda. There's the creed we read at the start that in itself is strange and could be linked to a form of propaganda. There's loads. There's the love bombing aspect that you mentioned, with showering people with praise and attention when they, you know, when they first join or when they give financial contributions. But as you mentioned, it doesn't matter at the end of all of it if you've made a substantial financial contribution. If you then speak out against Bear, then you're still going to be somebody who's shunned from the group.
Yes.
So there's, I mean, we could speak about the way that the bike model fits with this all throughout the day. But I mean, I've only got a few questions left before we finish. So one of them, before I ask you if there's anything you think we've missed or anything you think that's important to add to highlight the potential dangers of this group, and that is where can ex-members or ex-followers of Owen Benjamin and people who have followed similar groups or charismatic people, where can they go for support and advice?
Casey, I will answer that to the best of my ability. And after that, I would like to actually talk about some of their beliefs, because that is very bizarre in and of itself. But as far as resources, as I've alluded to earlier, there are scant few resources that I could find that focus on this type of internet activity. I would, now this is going to sound come off as being self-serving, but it's not my intention. I would recommend my documentaries as a start, and others like them, as a way of viewing these men without their self-made and cult-promoted veneer. But there are also many subreddits and message boards that also catalog the crimes and general lunacy of these types of personality cult leaders. And as a matter of fact, I think that is where our mutual friend found you, was on the r/cults
Yes,
subreddit.
most likely, yeah.
So there are, as this is an internet problem, perhaps the internet is the best place to begin searching for solutions to these problems. But I'm sure the old, like I said, sometimes the old-fashioned methods are necessary. Possibly therapy, possibly family intervention.
Yep. I mean, in therapy, we've spoken about that worked for Persephone when she went, with her husband and managed to realize that all of the things she'd been told were not real, and all of the feelings that she felt had been fabricated in some way. So therapy, we always go back to, is definitely something. And then there's your subreddit that you've mentioned a number of times, the Gamma Secret Kings. There's over 400 people in that subreddit. And then there's the Owen Benjamin subreddit with over 3,000 people. Some people there, if you need support or advice, you'll find people in that subreddit that can help.
Absolutely. And if I may, the Owen Benjamin subreddit has morphed over time. When I first got there, it was a place where people mostly made fun of Owen Benjamin. They mostly called him out in a humorous and oftentimes uncouth way. However, where it is now is that it is largely comprised of people who once were Bear Cult members. So there are people there, and it somewhat takes the form of a support group in a way. So there are people there who can be understanding, who know what these people might be going through. So at least there's that common bond that can be possibly used to extricate these people from the situation. But there really is, as far as deprogramming, I really don't know. You would probably have to use the more traditional methods.
And hopefully this episode can just bring more attention to these types of groups and the poor people like Kat who are vulnerable and are just being exploited and preyed upon by people who are managing to just extract money from their victims, basically. So yes, talk us through, Scorpio, some of the beliefs and those things, and anything else you think that we've missed before we wrap up.
Okay, as for their beliefs, this is the very strange part here. And we kind of started touching upon it earlier, but Owen has steered this group into believing every manner of fringe conspiracy belief that catches his tenuous attention span. Some of the things they believe in are the earth is flat, the sun is a portal to heaven, and the moon isn't real. Benjamin promotes Holocaust denial. He also espouses New Age magic. And this is a strange one. He taught his followers that drinking turpentine will kill the parasitic worms in the gut. He calls them the gut grabblers. These are the worms that cause people to, I can't even say, these are the worms that cause people to become homosexual.
That is why people on the subreddit keep talking about turpentine. I was like, why? What is the reference? Why do people keep talking about turpentine? But that makes sense now.
Yes. And I touch upon it briefly in the documentary, but I didn't devote too much time. But that was a very interesting time in this whole Owen Benjamin saga, was because he promoted it for some time. He supposedly was taking it, but we never saw him actually do it on camera. But we do have reports from his followers taking it, and some of them becoming very ill due to that. So again, real world consequences for this online problem.
Is he actually a closet homosexual?
Well, it is there that we begin to see that this man is wrestling with some troubling issues, at least for his own sanity. Mm-hmm. He has transferred his monomania about homosexual sex onto his followers. And we have a leader and his group in a never-ending discussion about, and please excuse my language, phalluses and anuses.
He just talks about it all the time, though. He just talks about men. He's like, oh, gay men all the time. That's all he seems to talk about. And he lost a very, very close friend many, many years ago. And his family and friends have said that their relationship was borderline homoerotic because of how close they were to one another. So I just wonder if he's projecting in some way.
That is the popular theory. That is the theory that I hold. But yeah, there is, and I have a whole chapter dedicated to that discussion in the Owen Benjamin documentary. But we have a man who has dedicated whole live streams. And this is a man that streams for upwards of 2 to 3 hours at a time, but he has dedicated whole live streams to discussing about how tall buildings are just hidden male sex organs all around us. It's not something that can be stated definitively, I don't have personal experience, so I can't tell you, but there is definitely something there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also in that, I believe in that same segment, in that same chapter of the documentary, we have that incident with that anonymous comic. And he was actually sexually assaulted by Benjamin on stage at a comedy club.
Wow. Okay.
And that was another infamous incident because at the time I conducted the interview, he wished to remain anonymous. And that was due to what had recently happened with Porcelain. That was due to the reputation that the Bears have of attacking critics.
Mm-hmm.
So, but by the end of that same year, I believe it was November, that he revealed his identity publicly on his own on Twitter. So we have this man, and just to, out of respect for him, I won't name him here, but he came out publicly and he corroborated that the story was true. And he said that it affected him greatly,
mm-hmm.
as I'm sure it would to anybody. The interesting thing again, Benjamin's, this is one of his character traits that is known. He's a very large man.
Yeah.
He's, six foot five at the least. Now this man that he attacked was 5'2".
Right.
So he picks up this man. He picks him up in his arms, raises him where his legs are dangling off the ground. and he forcefully makes out with him on stage in front of a an audience of comedy goers.
Right. Okay.
So we have these incidents. We have the homosexual monomania. We have incidents like what happened with this comic, where the man is acting on these urges or acting on his constant focus. So it's really, and as you said, the history with his college friend. So it's not something that, I mean, this is a married man with children. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we kind of have that question there, but this fixation is odd, given that the primary reason he resonated with his followers to begin with was his mantra, get God, get land, have a family. He has a, as I mentioned, a faux homesteader grift going on and spouts many eschatological views and doomsday prepper type of content. So it's he's kind of tries to portray himself as this traditionalist. He takes this traditionalist approach and he tries to fool people into following him by parroting. And we're going to get into, we're getting into some more of the crazy beliefs, but he parrots novice level information about Christianity, but he's horribly blasphemous and sacrilegious. He has in effect merged his childlike notions of Christianity, Islam, New Age, and conspiracy. And he calls it this oxymoron, Islamo-Christian values is what he calls his, I suppose I can understand his, no, he's said this on stream before. He relates to the Muslims because of their treatment of homosexuals and oppression of women. So he's kind of, again, just like Vox Day, he's in that camp where women are seen as second-class citizens.
Right, yeah.
Which may not go, have some kind of play with his subconscious urges.
Mm-hmm. Very strange. It
leaves you at a loss for words. I've had this experience. It's, as I've said, I occupy a very niche and very unusual part of the internet. So when you, I can't talk to people that are out of the loop about this kind of stuff, because it's just, there's no way to gauge the reaction.
I mean, how do you even, I don't know. In the documentary, when you mentioned that Owen Benjamin believes in things like the earth is flat and is I don't have a thought about all the things he believes, because they're just to me so ridiculous. All the thoughts about, oh, just even anti-vaxxers and all that, I just don't understand it. I just don't. I have people that are like, I'm not wearing a mask. Why would the government want to control you by telling you to wear a mask? What do they possibly gain? But I don't know. It's just all ridiculous to me. But is there anything else you can think of with either Vox Day or Owen Benjamin that's important to mention? In terms of red flags or things that people should watch out for with online cults of personality.
My final thoughts on these two men, I would encourage anyone who might be thinking about either joining or funding these type of people to practice discernment and due diligence. Mm-hmm. It is cliche now, of course, but if something sounds too good to be true, it very likely is. These internet personality cult leaders take many forms and espouse many different ideologies. Therefore, it is imperative to approach any individual like this with extreme skepticism. It's not just these two. There's all kinds of different communities centered around a central figure, someone who is the very obvious leader, and everyone around them is just their minions. And you start to see that everyone around them is just a dollar sign in the eyes of these people. That's what it all comes back to, Casey. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. And it might be argued that that is most cults.
Despite even where they're getting it from.
Yeah, money and power, ultimately, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you coming here today, Scorpio, and giving me your time and all the information that you've managed to gather. I appreciate that Vox Day and Owen Benjamin are two figures that have taken a back seat in terms of the trolling that you do now with the subreddit. I imagine that if you wanted to use your journalistic experience, there's probably many of those documentary styled pieces of video you could bring out for other people on the internet that have similar things on the go. Is that something that you do on your YouTube channel?
That was the plan, and I am working on a project right now. But at the end of the day, I am a hobbyist. This is not a primary occupation for me. So when I have time, I work on things. The two-part, I call it Unauthorized Grift, is what I call the two-part series about Owen Benjamin and Vox Day. That was a sensation in that community at that time. And I have yet to follow it up with another documentary. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the beginning of the pandemic when these first came out. So it was my goal to concentrate on other figures, but where I am at in South Texas, we did not get affected very, very greatly by the pandemic. We did not have any business closures and things like that. So I've been working this whole time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have a family, so I like to spend time with my family. So when I have mm-hmm. time, I do little projects like this, but I have continued at least to be a thorn in the sides of people like these men.
Yeah, a gamma.
Yes, absolutely.
Brilliant, fantastic. Well, I appreciate you coming here today and bringing us these words of warning and just highlighting I'm going to assume thousands of these types of groups that exist online and prey on vulnerable people, exploit vulnerable people, and use, you know, potential cult-like methods of control to gain that exploitation and to take advantage of these people. So thank you so much, Scorpio, for your time today. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Yes, well, I enjoyed my time here. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Scorpio.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
That is the end of this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch, you can do so by emailing me at cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I am your speaker, Casey, and this has been The Cult Vault.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.